back in our teaching tonight on the life of Christ. We began last week, we were looking into the healing ministry of Jesus because this was a big part of his ministry, a big part of what he did. And what I did is I went down through all the places in the book of Matthew where it talked about his ministry and healing in multitudes, ministering the multitudes, things it said about him ministering healing. We looked at the fact that he had said numbers of times he healed every kind of sickness and every kind of disease. Sometimes it said in, sometimes when he ministered to multitudes, it said that everybody was healed. But that didn't necessarily all the time happen. But sometimes he ministered in that way. Well, we went down and, man, there was loads of times that they made mention of that, just in Matthew alone, and I used two times in Mark. We didn't going to go all down through the rest of Mark and through Luke and all those things that are talk about his ministry, all the ministry he did to the multitudes, but he had a huge amount of healing. What I want to do is spend the time, we're going to go through the Gospels and look at the individual healings that were done in the Gospel, because in them we find out about faith and healing. It's through these ones. We need to understand that these things were specifically put into Scripture. Now, if we would, there's no way, if John, which I believe John was correct when he said if everything was written that Jesus did, he said he didn't think the earth could hold the books, you know, that would hail it. So we know there was probably many individuals specifically that could have been mentioned to healed. But you know, when God gave us this Bible that we have, and see, really, our New Testaments, you know, with dealing with the Gospels, the four Gospels are actually under the Old Testament. But they're the ministry of Jesus under the Old Testament. And then we have the book of Acts, which was written by Luke, of the events of the Acts, the apostles, and that stuff. But then we have the individual letters were written to the church. And then you have the book of Revelation, with the revelation that John got concerning the end times. Well, we put that together. Really, that's not a huge volume of stuff. But we look at these things, and if God moved through the Holy Ghost to put these things together for us, then we should look at these things, because these things are going to teach us specifically in areas of faith, will teach us things about healing. One of the things that I learned a lot about healing, I followed after these things and found out about, you know, these. I remember Brother Hagin used to teach on this stuff, and he would talk about these individual healings, and he would talk things about those. But I'd go over and read them in the Scriptures. And one of the most important things that is most people, when they read through these in Scriptures, like they'll read them at one spot. So what happens, they come over another spot, has that same incident. They sort of skim through it quick, you know, blah, on it. And you shouldn't be doing that if God was inspired and put three different references of that in the Scripture. Because there's things that people have built huge doctrines off of it that don't even have one Scripture in it. We should be stopping and reading them of what they say. We should do it. They're put in there for a purpose. And that's one of the things of sitting down and looking at these. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to look, as we read through these, we're going to look at what different writers said. Sometimes we do have ones that were maybe mentioned one time by one writer. Numbers of them are mentioned, you know, two or three times. That they're mentioned, like from one writer to another, will mention the same thing. And they tell you different things about that same ministry event that took place. So we learn some different things about it. And so we're going to go over tonight. I'm going to start in the book of Matthew. And we're going to pick up the first time that it deals with Matthew. Now, Matthew dealt with before this period about Jesus' healing ministry, talking about multitudes. But this is the first individual healing that Matthew mentioned. And then we're going to look at it in Mark, and also we're going to look at it in Luke on the same event. And what we're going to look at, and it's interesting because, you know, I don't think the Bible just happened to get listed, you know, books of the Bible just happened to be placed where they were, and things like, you know, here like with Matthew and the starting out of Matthew. I find it interesting because of looking at Matthew, it would be the first book that we would look at. And the New Testament, if you were starting to read the New Testament, would be the first one that you look at and start to read. And you come to the first individual healing, we're going to find that this individual that they came to is in Matthew, the 8th chapter. And it's here we're going to find, and we're going to deal with the cleansing of a leper. And so In Matthew, the 8th chapter, in verse 1, it says, when he had come down from the mountain, it says, great multitudes followed him. And it says, behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus said, put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. He says, immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer a gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And now there's it's interesting because this is the first one on the list. And this gentleman comes along, he has leprosy, and understand, under the law of leprosy, these people are not allowed out with everybody else in the regular public. And if they would come out into an area, they'd have to stay, I forget, they used to have not a space that they had to stay away from other people. They had to, you know, keep a distance away. Anyhow, this guy who has leprosy comes to Jesus, and he said, you know, basically, in talking in our vernacular, he would go to Jesus like this. He'd go, Jesus, I know that you can heal me. I know you can do that. But will you do it? And see, you know, lots of people read this and they thought, oh, this is really just sort of nice. But you need to understand this. This is one of the reasons why so many people today have trouble in the areas of healing. Because they believe God can heal, but they think that's great significance. Believing God can heal doesn't amount to much. Because it's not enough. You could believe God can heal. But the whole point we need to know, will he heal me? You can't have faith for you to be healed till you know that he will do it for you. Then you can have faith for healing. Other than that, you can just, well, maybe I'll get lucky. Well, this guy came, and I find it's very interesting because his approach to Jesus, he didn't know. But remember, we were teaching all this stuff about discipleship. This guy wanted to find out. Oh, I bet you there was 40,000 other lepers standing around saying, "Well, I know he could do it, but well, you know, we're just stuck here, and this is where we are." And yeah, and this guy went out. He said, "Now look, Jesus, I know you can do this, but will you do it?" And that's another thing. It's important now with Jesus' response. Jesus said, "I will." And understand this, we taught this before. Jesus said, he didn't say anything the Father didn't say. He said, I don't say anything the Father don't say, and I don't do anything I don't see the Father do. Now that was Jesus' statement. So Jesus always spoke the will of God, so we know this. It isn't a matter of Jesus healing this guy. Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power who went about doing good and healed all that were oppressed of the devil because what? God was with him. This is God healing this man. Jesus told this man, I'm willing. Why did Jesus say I'm willing? Because this is what the Father wants to do. This is what the Father wants to heal you. And see, put yourself in the same circumstance. Why was this put here in the Bible? I believe it's put here to answer that very question to us. Is it's God's will to heal me. If you went to Jesus today and you said, Jesus, I know you could heal me. Are you willing? I know what his answer would be. I know exactly what it would be. It'd be the same answer he gave this guy. And so it was put there for that purpose. And so we need to see that and you know, get a hold of that fact. Another thing we want to see is Jesus always fulfilled the law. Always fulfilled the law. And this is what he did. We need to, you know, he didn't tell everybody that got healed to present themselves to the priest. But there was a requirement under the law. You'll notice this. When Jesus healed lepers, he always told them to go present themselves to the priest. That was the law. The law required it. For them to be able to go back into public again, Jesus was not in the authority position to send any leper back in among the people. He had no authority to do that. He wasn't a priest. He had no authority to do that. So Jesus told this guy, you go show yourself to the priest. You go see him. Why? Because there's an offering. You go over and read Levitical law. There's an offering and stuff that's made as a blood sacrifice that they do for that person. And he's inspected by the priest, and the priest finds him clean of leprosy. He's allowed. Then the priest will say, you can go back into public again, and he can go back around the public. So he's cleansed of leprosy. So Jesus is following the law. He can't break the law. And see, this is what you know, we need to understand this about Jesus. Why he did things that he did. There's reasons why he did. Now here, so this we see why he did. But understand this, is the fact of this guy came and asked. And I mean, it always got me that this was the first one that was mentioned in the book of Matthew, was mentioned this individual. And the whole thing was this, asking if it's God's will. In other words, it would have been like, is it God's will for me to be well? I know God can heal. People say God can do anything. Well, that's great. But what will God do for me? And that's why it's looking where, when you look, that you're in a situation, just like with these individuals, if you find yourself in a situation, with me, many times I've identified with people in the Bible that were in a situation. And I look what God did for them. He did that for them. Many times I look at what things David did and I said, God did this for David. He'll do that for me in this situation. He'll do this. Why give me a book if it ain't for me? If the Bible ain't, if he ain't going to do it for me, let's throw all these pages away. It's absolutely stupid to sit down and read them. Why read about stuff that God ain't going to do for us? It would really be ridiculous. What a waste of our time. If he ain't going to do it, then I'm going to go get some help, see what help I can get. I ain't going to waste my time if he didn't plan on doing anything. Well, God plans. And just in this, when you find yourself in a situation and you look at an individual and you see that, identify with that individual. What did God do in that situation? What's God's response? In Jesus' ministry, you understand this is God the Father's direct response through Jesus Christ to humanity. That's what it is. It's God's direct response. Is it Daddy and Jesus are two different people? And I really do believe a lot of Christians see Jesus as a nice guy and Daddy is the big bad dude on the throne, He's the scary guy to get to. All the good that manifests through Jesus was because of the Father. That's the love of God, the compassion that Jesus had. We're reading here that Jesus touched him. It says it cleansed him. If we would take the same incident in Mark, now this is what Mark said, and of course Mark states it something basic. It's stated the same, few words different, but it just gives you a little bit of a different idea. Mark the first chapter, and here again, Mark has it in his first chapter. Mark's the first chapter, verse 40 says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If you're willing, you can make me clean.' And Jesus moved with compassion." Now do you think that's Jesus just this nice, compassionate guy? What's the compassion? This is not natural compassion. I'm going to tell you what, I get there's loads of people that had compassion for the lepers, felt terrible about the situation they were in. This is not like, this is the compassion of God. This is the anointing of God working in its compassion to heal a man. He says, he was moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, "I'm willing, be cleansed." Jesus touching, this is one of the things that you need to understand. When we touch the sick, it's God touching the sick. When Jesus touched the sick, it was God's touching the sick. It's the same way the Bible tells you to lay hands. When we lay hands on people, it's God giving, we're laying hands. There's not a greater thing than you would touch a person. I always thought about the first mission trip I was ever on. I went to Peru. It was down in Lima, Peru, and I went to a place they called the Devil's Mouth. Over 1 million people living in a slum area, you just can't imagine. I mean, you just can't imagine. They talk about poor in America. Poor in America is lavish living, too. I mean, you just can't imagine how poor. And I'll never forget the Peruvian guy that was with me. He was our translator. And we were having a really supernatural time because our regular translators were supposed to be there to meet us. We were going to be leaving Lima and flying up to Arequipa, and they had heavy rains. And so because in the mountains, it's a mountain city. In this mountain city, we couldn't fly in because there was clouds sucked the place in and we couldn't go. And we couldn't go drive up because they had landslides and stuff and roads were blocked and things. So we couldn't go up. And all of our translators are up there. So they tell us who our translators are. They give me a guy, he can't talk English. I mean, he can say a few words in English, but him and I can't communicate. We can't talk. He's my translator. So you know what you do? You just smile. Praise God. This thing's going to work. We're just going to, you go lay hands on people. They don't have to, you talk your best, do your thing. And we'll. Just, but the craziest thing happened. When I would start preaching, he'd say to me, "I can understand everything you say." He said, "When you start preaching," he said, "I understand everything." And so we, and it worked great, absolutely worked fantastic. We had no problems whatsoever. You know, I am sure when we left that week, I'd quit working. I've seen it, stuff happen like that. But anyhow, we went to get off the bus. They took us down. It's number one. We were in this nice, really nice bus that they, because we had a pretty good sized group. We were going into this place, and you know, because there's so many people, you want to minister and stuff. And we were going to be holding a night crusade in that area. And so in the daytime, we were out ministering to people there and sort of, you know, doing this so people know about the night services to come out too. And we were ministering to people. But this guy said to us, he said, when you come down here to these people, he said, you got to realize, he said, these people, he says, nobody ever comes and visits them. He said, nobody ever drove up in a bus like this to come to see them. He said, they don't. And he said this, you be very careful the words of what you say to them. Because he said, you make sure you tell them the truth, because he said, they'll believe anything you say just because you would come down here and see them. And I thought, wow, that's a hugely powerful thing. Because he said, nobody ever visits. He said, people come to this city. He said, they come to Lima, Peru. They go to, you know, these tourists. They go to all the tourists, but they don't come out here. He said, you guys come out here. But we just saw God do miracles and that stuff, and you just see, you know, God did all kinds of things. But you go out, get down there among those people, you see the move of God. But God's willingness to heal is the holy thing. The whole thing of it is God's will. God gets among people. God wants to heal. That's what He wants to do. He wants to heal. It's one of the easiest things to get people things kicked off is getting in the areas of people to heal. You have a hard time if you're in America with healing meetings because people love their doctors. They love their doctors. They love their and healing. You have a hard time with it. You go into those areas. I mean, everybody's sick. I remember we got off the bus. The first lady I talked to, she was there as a woman. Her husband had left her. She had five children. We ain't talking about. She probably her income probably wasn't a few hundred dollars a year. Probably is what it was for her if she could. And I mean, they spent their whole day, the people in this place, because very little electricity in the place. They had a few, you know, people had some hanging light bulbs and some stuff like that. No running water, no sewage in the whole place. A million people live here, no sewer system. No water. They hauled water in by trucks. They had these huge, they made these adobe brick, you know, cisterns, above ground cisterns. They weren't in ground, above ground. And then they had like a black rubber tarp would be put inside of it, and they'd come and pump water in there. Out of the river. It didn't come out of the... It came out of the river. It didn't come out of the... We just hauled it up from the river. And the people, that's where everybody would go to these ones. And they'd just take a truck, drive down through, and just fill water. Fill these up. People would come out. And that's where they got their water. And everybody's sick. Everybody's sick. I mean, we just can't imagine. I mean, to me, so heartbreaking. You meet a mother, she's standing, five kids. She's got five kids. She's sick. Five kids are sick. They're all sick. Everybody's sick. I mean, through this place, you saw anybody well, it would have been startled. I mean, everybody's sick because, I mean, they spend all day out. Their really whole day is about eating. It isn't about any other kinds of stuff or things in life. It's about eating because they get up in the morning and they go to whatever they can do to find food, to get whatever they can. There's no refrigeration, so you can't buy anything ahead of time, much of anything to keep or anything like that. And their whole thing is from one meal to the next, trying to get food, to make some food, to eat. And you're like, this poor woman, I mean, her whole thing is just feeding her kids. It isn't about doing anything else for her children. You're just trying to feed your children. I mean, that's the way they're living out there in that place. But going out there, and really going out there to this place and ministering, and you see the compassion, and you get out there among those people, and there is, you know, it's a natural compassion, but man, there's a compassion of God that'll well up in you. It's like, my God, you can't stand it. You just look at these people, and it's like, man, it isn't like, I want to, let's start a program. This is most people, you know, this is what they call compassion. Let's start. No, it's God. I want to heal these people. I want to heal people. And, you know, the first thing he did, I mean, I bet I didn't talk to this lady and her kids for 5 minutes. We prayed for her, stood there, laid hands on her, prayed for her, and he got healed. Oh, got healed. See, well, that's pretty good. That's a good start. But we, through the whole thing, the time that I spent there, we saw so many healings and so many things going on. But the compassion of God. Is people, you know, we were down there. Their country was in a financial mess. They had had in the past, I think it was 6 months had went past, they had like 12,000% inflation. And their dollar bills, all they do is kept printing new dollar bills all the time. They'd print these new ones out. And all they do is add zeros on them. And you'd get these, you'd have a bill this big, and it had all these zero, one with a zero, 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 zero on them. And they'd just print these. And you'd get these things, and you'd almost need a purse to carry. You had 20 bucks on it, you had a bunch of stuff on you. If it had been worth $20, it would have been loads of. But that was their money, and they had it. But understand, with 12,000% inflation, I mean, things are really, you know, just nuts for the people. I mean, you can't, I mean, the idea of buying things and stuff like that, you have all this pressure on is on this society and that stuff. But God's compassion was absolutely incredible in the place. I mean, we saw more miraculous things, more supernatural and stuff going on. I've told you guys before, I would go back at night. We're staying in a hotel in Lima, Peru. Lima, Peru is sits right on the Pacific coast, but it's a desert. Almost never rains there because all the systems run from east to west. So if it ever rains, which they only have maybe once, twice a year, sometimes maybe it don't even rain that much in a year, it takes place, you don't have any, you don't have insects and stuff like that. You're just, desert's dry, you know, and that stuff. And you know, we're in this hotel, and you just have, our hotel room had these huge big shutters you push open, and you know, just air going through the place, because, you know, as long as you were at, basically, the temperatures during the day, even in the hottest time of year, maybe is in the upper 70s, and the coldest is maybe about 70, I don't know. This temperature stays pretty much the same all the time. And, you know, and I would go back at night, and I remember looking out the window and stand there after we go out and minister to people and see what God did. All He did, healing people. I mean, it was absolutely, you almost couldn't believe it was even true. I'm serious. It was like being in a daze. You're walking around this place and it's like, and you realize, if I was that, if I had this in power, or I had some kind of great preaching that I did, well, this would be happening all the time. It isn't an individual. You don't do it. And I would just go lay down in the bed, and I would just, is this really real? Is this really, am I going to wake up in the morning and find out that, you know, I'm still in the United States? I just had this dream. It really seemed real or something, because it was so unreal. But really, the whole thing it was the compassion of God. People, you know, we were in a nation, there was a mess going on at that time when we were down there. Some people talked about, oh, we shouldn't go down, because that's when they had the communist insurgents down there. They were called something of light or whatever they were, and they were doing a lot of bombings and stuff in public areas, and they had some bombings while we were down there in some areas and stuff and that. But, you know, and I told them, I said, you know, God said to go, told me to go. I was going to go. I said, if God can't take care of me there, He ain't very good anyhow, so it don't really matter. But seeing God's compassion. But here you were, see, here's people, and things are just all messed up, and just God had great compassion on what their problem and what their need was, and His willingness to move among those people. And it's just like it's here. God is willing. It's a matter of people responding to people, and even with yourselves. Get yourselves over. You know, the situations are things that we deal with. God has compassion toward us in things. But we have to, you know, there is a, because of what we're taught and what we do know, we have a response that we have to have to God. You know, those people down there, some of them, like we met many people that didn't know, they didn't really, they religiously knew Jesus, like as being, whether they were Catholics, a lot of them are Catholics, but they didn't really know Jesus. Nobody really knew Him. And they didn't know Him. They knew that He healed, but they didn't know that He would, they weren't taught that He would heal them and stuff. And when you got, but you got around them, there was a hunger for things with God. They wanted things of God. They wanted God to do something. They weren't really looking for man to take care of them on a situation. They weren't looking for it. And God's compassion toward them. And there's one thing, it sure help us if we would show our compassion, really, is it, I think there's a part of us in our natural compassion to minister to people could have a lot to do with God, His compassion to begin to work. We found here, it said that Jesus moved with compassion. He said, He stretched out His hand, He touched Him, He said, I'm willing, be cleansed. And then again, it said there in Mark, it said, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy, he says, left Him, and He was cleansed, and He strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, offer for your cleansing to those with Moses' command as a testimony to them. So He told them the exact same things. Now they used the word compassion there, and I like that. I believe there's a real reason why things were said differently by different ones, because when you put them all together, it gives you a whole story. And that's why you want to read them, because it gives you the whole story. Because there's each one maybe emphasizes a certain thing. And I believe God has a purpose, because here's one thing the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. See, people that don't study and ever look this stuff out or ever try to find out about this stuff, they don't ever see the stuff. And they'll never get a revelation on it either. And this is one of the things, is studying these things. Now, in Luke has the same incident. And basically, Luke's is the same concerning this. And because we find some instances of things are really told differently, because, you know, sometimes you'll find somebody just said a few remarks about the incident where another one got real detailed about it. And here you'll find, I believe there's a real purpose, and these are so closely said, because I believe these speak to us in God's willingness to heal us. God's willingness to heal. But in Luke, the 5th chapter, and verse 12 says, "And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy said, saw Jesus. And he fell." Now you'll notice here he said this guy was full of leprosy. Now here Luke brings out the fact that this guy wasn't just has some leprosy. This guy's full of leprosy. And so he makes the statement, this is just a little problem. He says, and Jesus, he said, and he fell on his face and implored him. And you notice the fact of in each instant we have, the one said he worshipped him. And so you have this, you know, this guy came humbly. He was recognizing who, you know, I'm sure he didn't know Jesus was the Messiah. He didn't know that. But there's one thing that he knew. He knew he was sent from God. And you know what? He treated him as he was sent from God. That he wanted something from God. And if God's working through the individual, and really learn that, know that. You know, one of the things that we have sometimes in ministry, I don't like to see the people do. Some people follow a person, an individual, the actual individual, too close. They pay homage to the individual. No, you pay. If you're going to pay homage, it's to the anointing that's in it. It's God's working in that individual. You always want to respect that. You know, sometimes maybe you can't necessarily respect sometimes some individuals. But if they have an anointing and it's working through them, always respect and honor the anointing, because that's God's part. Sometimes people do dumb things and stupid stuff. But if God's working through them, and does, God works through idiots sometimes. That's just, you know, God works through a donkey, he might work through you too. So... but when God's working through, always respect the anointing, because that's what you want anyhow. You want the anointing. The anointing is what destroys the yoke. The anointing destroys the yoke. And you always pay reverence to the anointing. You're not doing it to the individual. It's just like with Jesus. This man, he recognized, it's just like what Nicodemus said, we know you're a teacher sent from God, because nobody can do the things you do unless God's with him. This guy recognized that God's using the individual. And so understand that. And he came to him. It isn't a matter of you got to go to somebody today and you got to bow down and worship it. But you come, there's a matter of respect. And many people don't do that. We in America really don't respect any kind of authority generally as a people. You know, it doesn't mean everybody doesn't, but generally as a people, we don't. We have no respect on the areas of authority. And we don't realize what it is having that respect. We see that this man had that type of respect. As he came to Jesus, and he said, you know, he says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Again, it says, then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, and he be cleansed. He said, immediately the leprosy left him. You know, I like the term here he uses, because he says, immediately the leprosy left him. You know, there's a real revelation here about sickness and disease. He said it left him. You know, many people talk about healed, but we don't deal much with the sickness and disease as it's something that departs. It's something that can leave. We deal with it more as like, I don't know how it's hard to say how people think about sickness and disease. I guess probably most people think about sickness and disease more from the standpoint of how medical science translates it to us. And he talks it like it left. It left him. It went away. You know, we will find out sometimes Jesus rebuked things. We're going to find out he rebuked stuff. We'll read about Peter's mom. He rebuked her fever. And it left her. And see, we don't treat it as it's a like sort of like a living thing in a sense. We don't treat it as something, you know, that you could talk to it. Where Jesus did. Here, he just touched the guy, and it said it left him. And understanding with sickness and disease, see, I think most people, where their area of thinking, and you know, really, we need to understand, our level of faith is basically what we're going to have, generally. Now, sometimes God, out of His mercy, does more for us than what we ask for. But generally, you're going to have exactly like you believe. Most people believe in recovery and have really no faith for an instantaneous healing. Yeah, I don't have any faith for it. And it's something you have to build. It's like when I started off, you know, I didn't start off and say, man, everything's just going, poof, you know. But I had, you know, I realized, you know, because I would watch people and I would think, you know, people even prayed for, and you could see that God was working in, were staying too sick too long. And that bothered me. And but I began to look at things, and I began to look at Jesus' ministry and Jesus' dealing with ministry and what I should, what am I going to expect? What am I going to believe? And I started setting myself to believe in a direction. As number one, just like with this, when I found out, well, sickness left them. It didn't stay. Hold it. Well, then how am I going to, I got to start to believe. I got to believe different about what sickness is. And you know, it might take you time because it's remember how you believe what sickness is. If you believe all that you've been taught by medical science and what generally people say, well, if you don't get that out of you, you're going to believe mostly along. You're going to believe that, you know, that God healing is basically like taking a pill, and over time you're going to get better. And it's like, you know, you keep taking your medicine and you just get better. Well, I mean, it's sure better than staying sick. I'm not knocking that, but I'm saying it's rising to a higher place of realizing. Didn't you ever think about sickness will obey you? Most people don't believe that. Most people don't think sickness will obey. We just try to get it to subside, and you know, we feel better in that. But sickness will obey you. It'll do what you tell it to do. And but also, I found out there was other things, not just with that, but also with your actions concerning sickness and disease. How do you respond to it? How do you respond? How do you treat sickness and disease? Well, most people cuddle it. How they get sick, they just cuddle their sickness and disease. You know, it's in our society today. We do. I mean, my words. The compassion on the sick is to make them want to stay sick because everybody will pay attention to you and that stuff. People use sickness to draw attention to themselves. Well, you just don't know how sick I am. You just don't know how terrible I was. And you just don't know this, and you just don't know that. And yes, I didn't want to know. Thank you. Because it almost becomes a badge of honor after a while to people to have something wrong. And we have to watch how we deal with it, how our approach and our think of it is. You know, I think when I think of sickness and disease, the first thing I think about is evil. It's evil. It's evil. You know, I remember Kenneth Hagin making the statement. You know, he said, I wouldn't want sickness on me any more than I'd want to commit adultery. He said, you know, but people don't. We don't view it as that. We don't view it like that. See, it's when the first time I heard Kenneth Hagin say it, I remember I was just a new Christian. And he said, it's not a sin to get sick, but it's a sin to stay sick. Well, when he first said that, I thought, I never heard nobody make a statement like that before. Because nowhere in a church, if somebody got sick, my God, they were the epitome of the church. They were the pillar. They were the sick one. You know, we'll hold special prayer meetings. We don't believe God's going to heal them, but we'll just keep praying till they die. And hoping they don't suffer too much when they go. But see, it was their view of it. And when I started, you know, studying into these things, you start to see these things and hear about this. And when I started to understand, it was my view. I had to change my view of how I saw sickness. Jesus, when I saw how he dealt as a man in the earth, he was a man, how he dealt and how he viewed sickness and disease. He didn't view it like everybody else did. I'm sure in his society, that threw them too. They were, wow. You know, like his hometown. Where'd this guy get this ministry? What? This is totally different. Because he came along and dealt with things just totally, especially healing. Huge amount of his ministry is healing. They have never seen it on this scope. Not just a matter of the mass amount of healings, how it's being done. What's going on? They don't see this. They say this guy cast, he said, you know, just one word and a demon leaves. You know, they don't get it. I mean, the church world today don't even get it. People don't pick up on it. And it's getting yourself over and looking at these incidences and looking at these things. And just like here, immediately it says the leprosy left him. And I found that when you start getting yourself and viewing it different, it is amazing how your faith changes about when you speak and say things. You know, you could be saying, one person can be seeing the exact same words, but the believings are totally different than what people are believing when they're saying it. What I believe and say today is many words that I said and always say before, but I sure believe them on a different level than I used to believe them. And speaking is learning, is changing yourself of how you view it. Look at sickness and disease and, you know, hate it. It's okay. You know, we don't hate people, but we can hate sickness. You're allowed to. You're allowed to speak badly of it. You're allowed to. You can do that as much as you want. You're allowed and do it. Get yourself over where you hate it, where you just see there's any good in it. I'm going to tell you what, I mean, you know, it's like I learned Kenneth Hagin. He said, he told people, God's using sickness to teach you. I'm going to give you my sickness and let him teach you all this stuff. You can learn everything. I don't want to know nothing. You know, don't teach me, God. I don't want to know anything. Let me alone. You know, and it's just, and we got to get over in that area where the way that we view things is sickness is never good. It never comes from God. We don't see in Jesus as his manifestation. As we go through his ministry, last week, all the things we read through last week, of all the scriptures we went down through, you know, of him ministering healing and the things that he did. He healed all their diseases. And you just read all that stuff, and it's like, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It hasn't changed. It's never changed. In fact, to me, I could only see it better because now he's not the man walking in the earth. He's anointed God, high priest, hallelujah, seated at the right hand of God. We're seated with him. I just can't imagine their sickness at that seat. I can't imagine how any Christian in their little pea brain rolling around up there could imagine that somehow sitting on that throne, their sickness and disease God got to throw out there. I just can't imagine it. I just can't fathom how people could think that way about him. And I'm glad I can't think that way. I don't want to. But always look at God. God, we found out with this man here, the answer to the question of the willingness of God to heal, that's answered. I'm willing. All we go through, every individual healing, never one time will we find where Jesus said to an individual, no, God's trying to teach you something. We're not going to find that. It's not here. You never found he ever said it or ever taught it in any of his teachings. Never. And such an important thing of his ministry, and if God wanted people sick, he should have been announcing it, or I would just tell God, you're a fraud. If God wants people sick, he's a fraud. Because he should have wrote that plain in the book. That should have came out pretty plain in the book. He shouldn't have wrote so much about healing if he's in this sick business that's going on, because we got a lot more sickness than we got healing. And that's not my God. And the sad part of it is like Kenneth Hagin, you know, he said, he said the church is warped. The warped teaching. And it is. It's all that stuff that's been taught from a religious standpoint that's warped people in the way that they think and the way that they look at things and look at sickness and disease. And it's just like, you know, it's like finding the answer for anything. You'll find out it's like sometimes with scientists and things or trying to find an answer to stuff. And I was just reading a thing here not long ago. Some scientists were trying to work out a problem, a situation of some kind of thing to find an answer to a certain dilemma that they had. And they talked about all the years that people did and all the research that was done. Well, they came up with the answer of it. And what the answer they came up with was this one young guy came up with this answer. And the whole reason he came up with it, and in fact, he wasn't one of the scientists. He was I don't know if he's a graduate student or something like that. He came up with the answer. And the reason he did is because he stopped and he said this. Everybody's going this way of looking at this thing, and everybody's looking at it this way, and everybody's doing it following this way, and this is the way, you know, things work. And he said, what if they don't? And what he did is he said, maybe we're just looking at this whole thing in the wrong direction. And it's an amazing thing. This young man, in less than a year's time, came up with an answer, some stuff that they had been looking at for years and years on end, and all the computers they used to try, just because he looked at it in a different way. This is what the Bible is. If you read your Bible and you see things just the way they are, you don't know what your Bible's saying. Your Bible is totally different than the way things are. You got to be able to look out here and see things like the Bible says they are. I don't care if it don't seem to look that way. If the Bible says it's that way, that's how you want to view it. You want to view it because you will not have answers to questions. Look what religion's done. Has it gotten better? Has religion gotten any better than helping men? Have things improved through the religious stuff that men have been doing? No. Well, we've had thousands of years doing this, sucker. And I mean, we ought to wake up sometime and say, hey, hold it. We got to take another look. And it's nothing matter with sitting down and saying, look, we've been taught things this way. Is it really that way? Let's look at it. Is it really? Well, maybe it is. Well, that's fine. If it was right. But if we can't, if we're afraid to stop and look at it, the devil owns you. The devil will make you afraid to look at things. Don't be afraid. God, you know, when Jesus came, I can imagine Jesus' ministry, his time. You know, it would be very much like, today if Jesus showed up. Most of the church world would not know him. They would have no clue who he is. He would not get in most spirit-filled churches. They'd never let him preach in it. They would haul him off to crucify him. Because he's so different than what we see today. Today, people are just looking, you know, they just have the natural view of most stuff and most things. And, it's become living like the world and looking like the world looks and from the standpoint of seeing like they see and our answers to situation are their answers to situations. We got to have better than that. And that's why as we look at these things, let these things, you know, don't just pass through these. I believe, you know, if just like if we look at letters to the churches, you know, do you ever think about, you know, some letters that were written that they have are very small letters. Like you take Peter's letters, they're small letters. John's letters are small letters. My words, you can spend months and months and months on end just teaching on these things, on these letters, on stuff from these letters. You can just go on and on and on and on with them. Yeah, people sit down and they say, I read through the Bible every year. What does that mean? I have nothing against reading through the Bible every year. That might be nice. But it would be good if you took a letter maybe and studied it all year. That might be No, there's nothing wrong with reading through it, but to really find out. Because, you know, I've learned this thing. They're saying things, and we think we know what they're saying, and they're saying stuff. We have no clue what they're even talking about. We have no clue. Because we're not seeing like they see. I mean, like you take John. John would never be allowed to preach in most churches today. Not after the things he said in 1 John. Boy, he said in 1 John about things. Oh my God. They'd crucify you. Well, you're too harsh on people. Don't come in here saying this stuff. I mean, you know, just go over and you know, look at Peter said. Peter said about the kinds of teachers there would be in the church. And he goes down what they are. My God. Most ministers would be scared. Can't have anybody in our churches like that. And that same minister probably got tons of them in his church. But see, he preaches for them instead of to them. And they can hide. They can hide. We don't deal with things. We don't deal with stuff. But being able to see is number one. Is like, you know, I was teaching on Tuesday because these things, John wrote things there. It was for our protection as a church. Christians never protect themselves today. They're open to all kinds of things of demonic stuff and everything else because they don't know how to protect themselves. John wrote how you protect yourself. How you take care of yourself. Keep the devil off of you. Keep the devil bringing his junk and teaching you stuff and get you into court squirrely believing. And how you do it. People you hang with, people you don't hang with. People don't pay no attention to those things. The church world doesn't pay any attention. So we don't see. And God wants us to see like he sees. And that's why I just encourage you is read through these and meditate on them. Till you see like these things and these individual healings. This is the goodness of God ministering to people. Sometimes it just amazes me. Jesus seemed to say harsh things sometimes to people. But it was the thing to bring their faith to a different place. We're going to find that as we read them through there. When people wanted something, but they were not in a place to receive it. But he brought them to the place to receive it. Today, if you, somebody, a minister, did that, people would be upset. They'd be all upset. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, I mean, he would come up, you know, and many times like in him in ministry, you know, the word of knowledge would operate through him and a person would come up to him from healing and he would ask him about they had faith and he'd say, you're a liar, you don't have no faith. Oh man, you did that in the church today? My God. These churches, these TV ministers, they would run you out of town. Oh my, they wouldn't have you around their place. They don't care if, you know, you got the best healing ministry in town. We want checks. We want money. We don't care about the healing. Give us the checks. That's what we want. But Smith Wigglesworth could bring people to a place, and he had miracles, man. I'm not talking about, we're talking miracles taking place. And if we want to see those things, and it's one of the things that is, I mean, if you think about Smith Wigglesworth, Smith Wigglesworth would never allow any other reading material in his home except the Bible. It's the only thing that was allowed in. You couldn't bring anything else in. He used to have one guy, used to minister, come and visit him every so often, and he'd always carry a paper with him, and he'd always make you lay the paper on the porch, and you could come in the house, but you can't come in the house with paper, you'd keep it out. Well, you know, sometimes you have to, it depends what you want. How far do you want to go? That's up to it. See, people say, well, that's extreme. I've heard people say, well, that's extreme. Oh, yeah. He had extreme ministry, too. You ain't going to have the ministry that he had doing it your way. Which way do you want it? How far do you want to go? So you have to ask, but how far do we want to go? He wanted to, he was extreme, but he had an extreme ministry. And people, every place he went, his ministry was extreme, extremely good. I mean, it did all kinds of things. But it depends how far you want to go or what you want to do. He was sold out. He thought the Word of God was the best thing there was. And he acted like it. It showed up. So what can you say? What can you say? I mean, it worked. So, but I just encourage you in these things. When you sit down, like say, to read this, take your time reading through these things. Don't just read stuff in here like this, especially in the areas of healing. If Jesus, you know, the healing ministry, I'm trying to think of E.W. Kenyon. E.W. Kenyon's church, he was a pastor. He was actually Baptist is what he was, but his actual church was, but he believed in healing and all this stuff. And his actual denomination was Baptist, and Baptists don't accept it as being one of them for sure. They don't. E.W. Kenyon, they think he was he's a heretic. But E.W. Kenyon and his church, they had their teaching things were done in quarters, whether they had like Sunday school at that time, and I said they had Sunday school and ministry. He personally ministered a quarter of the Sundays that he ministered in a year were on the subject of healing. In our Sunday schools, every class from the children's on up through the adults, healing was taught a quarter of the time. He never had one, he went something like a 20-some year period in his ministry. Never one person ever went to the hospital in his church. Never went to a hospital. Never. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's pretty phenomenal. They never had one person die prematurely. Everybody that died in the church in that period lived out an old age. But, see, they took a subject. Healing's a hugely important subject. I mean, look at America. America's going bankrupt over the things of healing. And the church world says they believe in, you know, the Spirit-filled church says they believe in healing, but they don't act like they do. They need the doctors as much as the world needs the doctors. And what we have, what are we going to offer for it? Well, it's one thing that says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And that's why I encourage people, especially for yourselves, it doesn't matter just me teaching you, but take the time to sit down. You know, as Brother Hagin used to, you know, he had a little book, was called God's Medicine. You know, but it's dealing with the word of God. You sit down and take the word of God. The word of God's life, it's health to your flesh. Take the time to sit down and get the word in you and get it inside of you for your own health's sake. You know, people try to do so much to better themselves. Well, who cares how educated you are, what job you got? You get sick, it can end it all. It can end everything. There's people who turn around and have been filthy rich and die filthy poor because of sickness and disease. Loads of times it happens. It bankrupts people, all the stuff people go through. And I'll guarantee you, with Obamacare, we're going to see it by the hordes. It's coming by the hordes. You watch it. And that's why we need to come over into these areas and look at these things and that stuff. When we come over, we can trust Jesus with our health. We can get over into these areas. And I just encourage you, just take the time to meditate on these things. It's worth it to just go through the scriptures. I always figured if E.W. Kenyon and those took the time in teaching those areas, I always thought, well, it would be smart for me to go over and look in the scriptures. That's why I've always stayed in the areas close in the areas of healing. And the Lord told me to. See, Kenneth Hagin used to do that. Kenneth Hagin used to stay over in those areas and that stuff by is because of health and healing and soundness. I don't know. I don't like to be sick. I don't know about you. I like being well. And I like it the most. And I know like when I, you know, like worked at Reese Candy Company and I worked at other places, you know, man, people took delight in calling off sickness. I watch Christians call off sick. They call off sick and they ain't sick. I mean, you don't do that stuff. You don't just call and say, I'm sick. Don't be surprised. The devil will come visit you. I'm well. See, I would do this. I would go to the, if I would need it off work for a day or wanted to, I would just go to my supervisor and say, hey, I'd like to get a day off. I'd like to do something. Well, he'd say, why don't you call in sick? I said, I can't do that. I ain't going to lie. I said, I ain't sick. I said, you don't give me the day off. I ain't taking the day off. I said, just this is the way it is. He'd give me a day off. He said, okay, I'll let you have a day off. And he would allow me off the day. But I wasn't going to lie about it. I'm not going to tell him. I'm not going to walk around and say, I ain't going to stick around to him preaching me that I'm sick. Me ain't sick. Me. But you just go, hey, I have something, you know, I want to do. Can I get off? Well, it's number one, I was a faithful worker. I was there all the time. I never took off other than if I asked off, and I hardly ever did that. You know, ever I asked off for anything, and I would, go. And he would let me have off because he said, well, you never take off, and you're always here, so. You know, you have time off and that stuff. But the whole thing of it is, it was a protection. It's my own soundness, my own, you know, it's my own integrity speaking. And so learning to do that, you know, and it's one thing, I came up with the idea. I just, you know, I read enough of the Word to think God wants me well. He wants me whole. And He's going to do what, He's going to always obey and do His side. He always will. God will do His side. And He'll do it for you too. Let's see, we're out of all. No, I think I'm going to end here because I'm going to go into the centurion was the next one that we're going to go into and look into that. But we don't have time to go over there. We'll get started in it and we'll have to end. Well, I just encourage you in this as this is the willingness of God to heal you. As number one, we saw into the willingness of God, the compassion of God. God has compassion on you. If you're sick, God has compassion on you. You know, He's trying to see how long you can suffer or how long you can do that. is another thing is seeing is Jesus, you know, because of leprosy, it's contagiousness. Jesus touched him. You know, to me, that would probably be one of the most huge things is, you know, you could say a person had compassion, but that compassion came as he touched Jesus. Jesus walked up and touched that man. Most people, you see, and I've heard people even say this, that he's laying hands on people, and oh boy. I've been in places in this world, and I'm going to tell you what, if you'd see the stuff and the things going on and the diseases and the things people got, but you know what? I lay hands on them. The Bible says you lay hands on the sick, and there is nothing like when you walk up and you take that person and you walk up and you touch them. Because, man, ain't nobody touching them. Ain't nobody touching them. You know, that can hugely change a person. You just touch them. But when you are touching, we're touching by faith in the power of God. That makes an enormous difference. So you can't live in fear of sickness and disease. So you'll never have it. If you have a fear about sickness and disease, if you have a fear that you'll get it, and you see there's a lot of that. And a lot of ministers, they try to get it. Well, you know, you're out ministering to people, and they'll say, well, make sure you wash your hands when you're done, and you do this, hurry, go, make sure, oh, you touch these people, clean your hands and that stuff. They get over and I just see Jesus pulling out his little wipe when he's done. Can you see him doing that to that guy? Can you see Jesus doing that to the leper?
Nope.
But see, we got, you know what? That minister showed me one thing about himself. He's afraid of sickness and disease. He's afraid of it. He's scared. And now he's preaching that fear to the rest of the people around him. He's preaching that fear. Get afraid, you're going to get it. Now look, too much of disease and that stuff, you don't have to touch it to get it. Well, what's he going to do? Well, he'll be the guy wearing the mask in front of him. He'll be doing all the stuff. And, you know, what are you going to do? See, it's how you deal with sickness and disease, how you approach it. You know, just like Jesus said, touched him, it left. He dealt with the thing like, you know, I don't have to let it on me. I don't have to allow it to come on me. I don't have to do that. Watch how you say. Now, it's one thing, it's right. You get around people who are unbelievers, and you know, there's one thing. If you're dealing with a situation or dealing with something, you're around unbelievers, you know, they can catch stuff. You need to realize that they can. You need to understand that about them. And how they're going to deal with it, but also with yourself. I'm not afraid to get around people that are sick. That doesn't bother me in the least. I don't worry about it. People say, well, you know, the flu goes round and around. You know, I have a cold. Don't hug me. I got a cold. See, why? You have one? Well, you're going to keep it. You said you have it. You ain't going to have me trying to wrestle it from you. Don't worry. I'm going to let you keep it. Don't worry. I ain't having one. And you know, it's all your view of how you view sickness and disease and how you see it. And we see that Jesus, as we go on in teaching, Jesus was completely fearless concerning sickness and disease. He was completely fearless. And I believe that we're to be the same way. We're to be fearless when it comes to sickness and disease. If there is any fear in us about a certain thing, I'll tell you what, it's going to leave an opening for us. We have to come to the points of sickness and disease because there's so much going on. Because now we're having this thing, this infection that's... They have been having over in Saudi Arabia. Now we have three cases here. There was a guy who came from Saudi Arabia, was over there treating people, and came back, and he had it. Now they say it's here, and they're starting to preach the fear. This is going to be the big pandemic, and you know people are going to be dying, and blah, blah, blah. They can do that. They're starting to preach their fear. They're starting to preach it. They're starting to preach. You know, it doesn't matter with the government warning people that something's here and is going on, but they're preaching fear. And you got to watch how it's preached, because you want to watch how you receive it. Are you going to be afraid? Oh, man, I might get this. I might... Whoa, we better watch this. This can get me. See how we begin to look at it, how we begin to deal with it. We have to be very careful how we deal with it. That doesn't mean, you know, we're going to just go do some stupid stuff, but we need to be careful how we approach it, how we view it, if there's any fear in us about these things. Because the Bible tells us clearly the things that will come on in the end, things that will happen. And it says men's hearts are going to fail them for the fear of things coming on the earth. I ain't going to be one of them men. Not going to be one of those. My heart will not fail me. The only reason it'll fail them, they're going to be filled with fear instead of faith. They're going to be afraid. They're going to be listening to all this other stuff. That's why I encourage you. Look in the Word and get the view of what the Bible says about things, where you see things from a different perspective, where you're not looking at them like everybody else is. Now, they're going to think you're weird. Now, just understand that. They're going to think you're weird. But if it bothers you being weird... It's going to just cause you problems. Which way do you want it? You know, I just felt a long time ago that I'm going to be weird. That's just the way it is. I'm just weird. And it isn't because I try to be weird. It's just, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And if I can get a picture from the Word and it says it's so, well, then we're just going to have to, that's going to be the way it's going to be. And I'm not going to preach it in a different way so it suits people so they can, you know, stay the way they are. If they want to stay the way they are, you know, why even bother going to church? It's easy to stay the way you are. Just don't do nothing. Hallelujah. Well, let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. Father, we want to thank you that through Jesus Christ, you revealed your great love and mercy to humanity. And through your great healing power for the suffering of humans. And Lord God, Lord, if we live in a world today and all the suffering that goes on and all the sickness and disease, and Father, you have changed not. Lord God, you still love to heal and you want to heal. And Lord, your compassion to heal has never changed. And Father, there's so much ignorance. So much ignorance has been taught. And Lord God, I ask you to forgive the church because there's been so much ignorance that has been taught by the church concerning sickness and disease. And Lord God, they haven't preached your great compassion and mercy upon people. And Lord God, you're a great desire to heal and deliver people. And we thank you for it, Father, for showing us these things. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, I'm just so glad I've had eyes to see these things. And Lord God, to see how good you are in this area, Lord God, of healing. And your desire to bless humans and to help them. And Lord God, deliver them from their suffering. And we thank you, Father God. Father, we pray that you will open up the eyes of people's understanding and lighten their hearts to your word so that they can see the truth about all your goodness to them through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for all that you're going to accomplish and do in us and through us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.